Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
With the news that the country's largest landlord has said their rental income could increase by 25% thanks to the new government rent rules, IRES REIT own over 3,000 properties across the country. Now, these reforms will give landlords the ability to reset rents to market rates if a tenant voluntarily ends the lease from next Monday. Well, joining me now to discuss is Pat Farrell, who's Chief Executive of the Irish Institutional Property, which is an organisation representing large property investors. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Claire.
So this issue was raised in the Dáil yesterday with Mary Lou McDonald saying that it paints a frightening picture of the size of rent increases coming down the tracks. She spoke about property funds, like the companies that you represent, being set for a bonanza. What do you say?
Well, first of all, obviously, I'm here to speak on behalf of institutional property members generally, not specifically any one organisation, but obviously that is not correct. And in fact, if you read this morning's Irish Independent, I see an article by Charlie Weston, a very respected consumer writer and commentator, and he explains quite importantly, and I think it would be important to put this in context at the very start of the discussion, that that's a projected figure and it's over a period of 10 years. So that is absolutely a complete mischaracterization of the issue.
So that would mean that the 25%, if you're looking at that over 10 years, that would be an average of just over 2%, which would be, under the current rules, the profits would be expected to increase by 25%. Is that your contention?
No, my contention is, I don't know what the profitability implications are, as I said, but I mean, I know for a start that the models of all of these institution investors is that they get their money from pension funds, the pension funds that will ultimately pay your pension and mine, Claire, and indeed the pensions of about 700,000 people in this country, many of them your listeners who are listening in this morning. And what they have to do is generate a return that will give the pensioner a pension that will give them a hedge against inflation over the lifetime of them drawing their pension. So what they're looking for is a return of around 3.5% to 4% over the lifetime of the investment. That's what we're talking about. Nothing more and nothing less. And all the rest is noise.
OK, well, just going back to this briefing, because there clearly is an issue around what was said in this briefing and what was meant. So the briefing says that it expects this 25% potential rental income uplift with minimal added costs, saying that this will come through as tenancies turn over. So that would mean that this profitability lift will come as a result of the rules changing.
Yes, but regardless of whatever the profitability lift, we still have to come back to the essential point, which is that rents at the moment are capped at the rate of inflation, which at the moment is what, 1.75%. And then what is being said, as I understand it, and I don't have actually sight of what particular said, but knowing what I do about the industry and know about how this works, is that over time, as tenancies come free, and don't forget, there are really important safeguards in this new legislation, which gives people very strong added protections. But only if somebody voluntarily vacates the rental over that period, then in each case, the landlord can reset it to whatever the prevailing market rent is. Mm-hmm. And so the combination of that, those two things, a projection from a company, as I understand it, is saying that over a period of 10 years, potentially there could be that kind of increase.
Yeah.
And by the way,
yeah, but they're also saying
when they say that, sorry, just very important point. when they say they can collect this over the period with no additional cost, I'm sure what they're talking about is that, you know, the operational cost required to collect rents doesn't change. But of course, over the same period, as in any business that's invested in bricks and mortar like this, there will be substantial additional capital costs, i.e., we all know for a fact that
they're not saying that. Like, they're not saying that. They're saying there will be a minimal increase in costs.
I'm making a broad point. I'm making a broad point, and I'm trying to intuit or understand what would be meant by what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pretty accurately figure that what they're talking about is that it doesn't cost them anything additional operationally to collect the increase in rents, but they will have. And every company will have it because it's not discretionary here. It's required under climate change legislation. Will a significant capital expenditure over the same period as well?
There's another interesting point in this briefing. And I understand that you're not representing this individual company, but it's good for us to examine what might happen as a consequence of this change, right? So they're saying that they believe the rental properties are being charged at 20% below market rent. Now, if a tenant voluntarily ends a rental agreement and someone goes in there, is that what we can expect to see? That current rent as is being charged today on the 26th of February from the 1st of March could be 20% higher?
No, I don't think you can say that. I mean, what we can say with certainty is that for every tenant in a tenancy today, they will enjoy a rent which will not increase, or will have the protection of a rent which will not increase more than the rate of inflation as independently adjudicated over the lifetime, or a maximum of 2%, in fact. So that's the one, that is the very important assurance for anybody who's in a tenancy, and they do have the protection of indefinite duration.
That's fine, but let's examine the scenario where the tenancy ends. What happens next?
Yeah, so in the situation where the tenancy ends, then the way it works is that the landlord in question, it's not just institutional, all landlords, can then actually reset the rent to whatever the prevailing market rent rate is for similar type properties in that area.
You know, this is one of those topics that no one really wants to think about. But if you're a parent, a homeowner, married, or helping take care of aging parents, it's something that honestly deserves a little attention. I'm talking about estate planning. And before you tune out thinking it's complicated or expensive, that's actually why I want to mention Trust and Will. Trust and Will makes estate planning feel way less intimidating than it sounds. They offer modern, attorney-designed wills and trusts that you can create online. And the process is surprisingly straightforward. In fact, you can create a will in as little as 30 minutes. That includes things like guardianship for your kids or pets, how your assets are distributed, and even healthcare directives. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect your loved ones with Trust and Will, the most trusted name in online estate planning. Go to trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. That's trustandwill.com/future for 20% off. trustandwill.com/FUTURE.
Okay, so as this listener says, the reality of this is that when a property becomes vacant, the landlord, whoever that landlord may be, can charge a much higher rent, and it could be 25% higher than at present, if they can get it.
I would say that that is absolutely highly unlikely.
Why?
And because I don't believe that in terms of the rents that are being charged at the moment that they would go up by that amount. Because go back again to the point, and it was the one that Charlie West made, that they said potentially this would happen over 10 years.
No, the other figure. They believe that the rental properties are being charged at 20% below market rent. They believe that. So if you believe
I get your point.
Then when you go back out into the market, you charge 20% more.
It depends on what the current market rent is in that particular area. And I don't actually be able to say with accuracy what exactly the increase could be. I mean, the turnover, I understand, generally is of the order of around 10%. So in 10% of cases where you have vacation voluntarily by the tenant, then the rent would increase the market rate, whatever that market rate might be. But let's not forget one thing here, and this is a really important point. The absolute answer to the current costs of rents is to actually bring more supply into the market. And for 3 or 4 years now, we've absolutely had no new supply. And the reason we've had no new supply is because the investment conditions of this market don't make it a stack up, even for a pension fund, which is looking for a modest return, to put money into the Irish market to build the badly needed new homes that we need. And with these changes, we are already seeing the increased interest of investors, and we're seeing transactions in the market whereby investors are now coming back into the market, and we are getting new supply. We're up to 36,000 homes for the year gone by, and I would anticipate that we will have an uplift on that this year and in following years, which will bring more supply.
This is the whole problem, isn't it? Like, you know, you're talking about investors who need to make money. It wasn't attractive for them to do that. Now they see that they can make money. Who are they making the money from? The people who are already paying, in some cases, over 1,800, 2,000 euro, 2,500 euro a month to rent a property are now going to be asked for more money so that we can get more supply in the hope that a problem is solved in 5 or 10 years' time.
Well, here's the critical issue, Claire. I mean, we need more homes. We absolutely need more homes. We need 50,000 new more homes per annum. And we know for a fact that the government, we need 20 billion to do that per annum. And the government can supply 7 to 8 billion. The banks can supply another 2 billion. We're short about 12 billion. Unless we can attract the investment to build the rest of those homes, we're absolutely going nowhere. And rents will actually become, the issue of rental and the cost of rental will become ever more acute. And this is not just an Irish issue. This is a Europe-wide issue. It's across the developed world. And everybody agrees that the answer is more supply. And when we do get more supply, then rents will moderate. And sorry, just but
then
the
if
period,
they do,
the period,
what's in it, though? Let's say the rents moderate. That's a really important point. Then what's in it for the institutional investors? Then they'll be gone.
No. They won't be gone. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the institutional investors came into the Irish market in or around 2010, and IRIS would have been one of those. And in 2026, 16 years later, those institutional investors are still there, because what they are doing is investing money on behalf of pension funds who are looking for a 3.5% to 4.5% return every year, steady return over the lifetime of the investment. And it's to fund the pensions of...
And are they getting
Irish
that? Are they getting that now?
Not at the moment, but that and the idea is that with the reforms that have come into the rental market, which
they'll
is
make
only
more
just
money.
Making, they will make more money. Yes, they will, and they will then make that kind of return, which is a moderate, reasonable return, and the minimum return is required to be able to
so
pay.
So what happens when the supply comes up to where it needs to be, and the rents moderate, and they're not making their 3 to 4% again? What happens then?
Well, I can tell you what happens then is you find other investors come in, people continuously exit the market, new investors come in, they see an investment opportunity, and so it goes. That's the cycle of the real estate market. That's the cycle of real estate investment.
Let's have a look again at what Mary Lou McDonald said. Now we see the proof straight from the horse's mouth. This was in relation to the briefing document. The biggest corporate landlord in Ireland is saying out loud the very thing that you, the government, denied, that they will make a fortune from your legislation all on the back of renters. What do you say to that?
Well, sure, none of those words were in anything that was said at all, other than the way they've been characterised in that particular statement that you've read out. I mean, no one said anything about a fortune. No one said that this would happen over, would happen immediately, which is what I understand was the characterisation of that in the cut and thrust of the debate yesterday. And I'm just setting it in context, and I'm setting out the facts. And the facts are quite different than what has been, as you've quoted there in the words that you've you've quoted.
But as you've explained to us, Pat, I mean, this is advantageous for landlords, what is happening with this law change. And the government has said that's why they did it, because they want it to be more profitable so that people will stay in the market. Therefore, the rents are going to go up. Now, we have to wait and see, and the Residential Tenancies Board is saying this as well, we have to see by how much the rents are going to go up. But they are sure that in the short term, rents across the country will rise. Do you agree with that prediction?
Absolutely. And not once in the course of the interview have I actually sought to other than agree that that is the case. Of course they will, because they have to, because in order to attract the money we need to build the 50,000 houses per annum, we have to be able to remunerate that investment. And in the case of this money, which is pension fund money, it's a moderate return people are looking for. And that's what this new modest reform, which also gives very important safeguards to tenants, by the way, which you shouldn't lose sight of, is designed to do.
The 2% rule, the market rate 2% rule, or the cap really on the increase when people are in an existing lease, that doesn't apply to new build apartments. And how does that work, and how is that advantageous for landlords?
Well, first of all, if you talk about, just in terms of what we were just talking about, in a new letting, it can't be set at the prevailing rate. It's set based on what the new RTB register says is the prevailing rent is. So I think that's an important point as well. Maybe that didn't come across in what we're saying.
It will be
on
the market rate, right? It'll be...
But that will be adjudicated on through the RTB register, who will actually have an objective view of what the actual rate is in the area, and then it will be by reference to that.
Okay, and on the new buildings then, because IRES REIT says in this briefing document that due to the exemption of new build apartments from the 2% rule, building them would be incentivized and there would be opportunities for growth. So clearly that's attractive now.
In the case of new build, they are allowed to, from the first letting, set at whatever the rate for the market is, again, as determined by the RTB register.
Okay. This listener has a property in Galway City. Under the rent pressure zone, it was renting at €1,000 a month. The market rent, they believe, is 2,800, so 2,800. The tenant is moving out voluntarily, so that's going to be reset at a lot more than 20%. I mean, that gives you an indication, Pat, of what people are looking at doing here with rents.
Well, it's hearsay. It's pure hearsay. I don't even know who the Galway listener is, and I don't know anything about the number. I would beg to differ with that figure. Yeah. It sounds like a huge jump, so I can't comment on it.
But what you do agree is that rents are going to go up from the 1st of March. You're not in any doubt on that one.
Well, there's nobody in any doubt on that. It's uncontested. I mean, we all knew that the result of the rent reforms was to enable rents over time to be able to get to a point where the actual investment required to build these properties, to operate them, would actually give a moderate return over the period. And that's exactly what the policy is designed to do. But what more importantly, what it, in a broader context, what it's designed to do is to attract the investment in the market to build the homes we need. And that is also uncontestable. And it's also, it's absolutely what's required to be done. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves always behind in relation to the amount of new supply, and always playing catch up, and always short in terms of the number of new homes we can deliver for people who badly need them.
Pat, thanks for taking the call. Pat Farrell there, Chief Executive of Irish Institutional Property. A lot of messages coming in on this. Their capital expenditure, this is the investment funds, should be covered by their sinking funds. Another, their claim is simply that as any property becomes vacant, they can charge rents 25% higher than at present. You can get in touch with us on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.